Hello, everyone. This is episode 2 of Quantum Recovery Podcast. I am your host, Andia. So today we are going to be talking about what is quantum, and I'm going to have a little bit of homework for you at the end. So, what is quantum? This word does not need to be intimidating. It was intimidating for me, and that's why I'm talking about this. So I'm going to speak for myself, and I just didn't really know what it meant, but I never really looked that into it. I just kind of thought it was a woo word or woo-woo, if you will. I didn't know the science backing of it or anything like that, but I knew there was some truth to it, but I didn't know the meanings of anything. Now, when you hear quantum physics, quantum biology, circadian health, circadian biology, redox, all of these terms, they're relating to the same thing. Also, quantum health, quantum recovery, all of them encompassing the same ideas, okay, the same science. And it doesn't need to be intimidating. It can be really simple. Simply put, quantum is the space around us. Things that are happening to us physiologically, they could be good or bad. Our environment is having an effect on our body at a subatomic level. So these are things that we can't typically see, right? But they can be measured, and that's how we know they exist. So I have a list here of some things that are examples of quantum in our environment. So the way that we also know about, quantum physics, quantum biology, I'm going to explain that as well. So some examples in our environment that we the how we know these things work. Well, our computer that we're sitting on right now, or your phone that you're listening to this on, that is an example. The X-ray machines, the MRI machines, lasers, lights, the biological compass in birds, the GPS, the rainbow. So in kindergarten, we learn about the rainbow, right? Roy G. Biv. So that's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And we see that the color, the colors of the rainbow, that's visible to our eye. Well, what's not visible to our eye is when we go outside and it's light out. So right now I'm pointing at the window. So it's light outside right now. If I were to go outside, I actually am witnessing the rainbow, the full spectrum. And in fact, the sp full spectrum even past the rainbow. So near infrared light and also UVB and UVA light. Those lights are energy waves, if you will, measured in nanometers, those are present, but I can't see them. But I know they're having an effect on my body. There's proof of that. For instance, if you go in the middle of, if you haven't primed your skin and you go in the out in the middle of the day and lay in the UVB light, I'll know that I've been out there too long because my body starts to get warm. And I can feel that my skin is burning, right? So we know these things exist. And also we know these things work. So why the woo? So basically, the paradigm shift that's happening, the reason you might be hearing a lot about light recently, I don't know, I might not be the first person that you're hearing this from. So basically, the biologists and the physicists started to talk to each other. And that's how we are now in this paradigm shift. They used to not think that physics can happen in a wet environment, being our bodies, right? And now we know that it definitely there's physics going on in our bodies. So specifically, Jim Al-Khalili and John Joe McFadden, they wrote a book called Life on the Edge. I'll link it in the show notes. And they got together and they figured it out. And there's a lot of different people that figured this out and made the connections that these things are happening. And we started to look more at some big toxins that are in our environment. So, what does this all have to do with our health? Well, it has to do with the toxins in our environment being two of the big ones. There's lots of toxins in our environment, but the two big ones we're going to be talking about in the quantum sphere are artificial blue light and non-native EMFs. So There are other toxins that we will talk about down the road, like PFAS and glyphosate and things that also affect our body and that can bioaccumulate in our body, right? But for the sake of this right now, this is the, those are the two biggest toxins that we're talking about that are affecting us at a subatomic level. So they're affecting our mitochondria. Our mitochondria, I'm going to have a whole episode on this, but for right now, our mitochondria are little organelles that are our energy systems. They're our little batteries. They sense our environment. And so these two big toxins are definitely affecting us at a subatomic level, and it's affecting health. And it's not just affecting people with addiction, but it's affecting people with all sorts of chronic disease and or causing the chronic diseases to come about. So how does this relate to addiction recovery, Andia? What does this have to do with that? Well, okay, so the artificial blue light. All right, so we're going to talk about artificial blue light first. So artificial blue light is a concentrated light spectrum of blue. Now, blue light exists in the full spectrum as well. And it's okay when we have blue light when it's surrounded by that full spectrum because it's evened out, it's balanced. But when it's concentrated, which most of the light bulbs are nowadays, they're concentrated with a blue light. And that's going to be a part of your homework, so I'm going to get back to that. But that this is affecting us. So that blue light actually penetrates deep enough into our skin where there are no nerve endings telling us we've been in front of it for too long. So we do have to think about how are we mitigating this? We live 90% of our time indoors right now. In our modern world, we are living 90% of our time indoors, and we're not getting outside like we used to, how we used to live. And this is causing issues because there are a lot of things that are in our bodies that are based on timing, certain pathways that have to be set off, neurotransmitter pathways, hormonal pathways that are set off from sp at specific times of day because of specific light signals. Next episode is going to be all about circadian health and our circadian clock. So until we get there, for now, we need to think about the conveniences we have in our modern day. If it's dark outside, or if it's dark, let's say I just woke up in the morning, it's before sunrise, I have to go to the bathroom. I go into my bathroom, I flick on my light switch. I don't do this anymore, but I used to do this. Flick on my light switch to go to the bathroom. Well, that blue light, that concentrated blue light in my bathroom light bulb, is giving my body the first signal of the day, and it's a very stark, bright signal that's actually not happening out in the real world right now. That's a problem. That is just set off and confused my mitochondria. So, same with non-native EMFs. So, non-native EMFs are non-natural electromagnetic fields. What are the non-natural ones? The big ones are our Wi-Fi, things that are affecting us and really dehydrating our cells, dehydrating our mitochondria. It can lo lower the energy. We'll have deeper discussions on that in the future. But for right now, that is what we're talking about, non-natural. And when we talk about natural EMFs, those are things like sunlight, the Earth's Schumann resonance, that's 7.83 hertz. When you go into the forest and you're forest bathing and you feel really calm, that is the earth setting off your parasympathetic nervous system. So you have those feelings of calm because we are a match for that. That is something that we don't see. Again, going back to the, why some people are skeptical when they hear quantum or they think this stuff is woo. It's not. It's actually happening in our body at a subatomic level. It's having an effect on our body. And for our nervous system specifically and healing from addiction, that's a really good thing. So, all right. So the non-native EMFs and the artificial blue light at night specifically can really wreak havoc on our systems. And what we want to start paying attention to is our environment. So I want you to start looking in your environment, paying attention when you're getting certain light signaling. Start to think about what lights used to look like and what they look like now. We've only been under these artificial lights for 144 years. It hasn't been that long in the grand scheme of things. And so I want you to start noticing the headlights, notice the street lamps, notice the lights in your home. How blue are they? How blue have they gotten? If you Google image like 2010 street lamp, you're going to actually see a warmer version of a street lamp, or 80s or 90s, whatever decade you want to go to. Now you're going to, I'm Generation X, so I typically think of 80s and 90s, but you can really go back only 13 years, which isn't that long ago, and you can see a huge change in the lights. We also are holding our cell phones really close to our face, and we are getting that blue light signaling on a constant basis. This is keeping our body in a sympathetic state. It's turning on our sympathetic nervous system, and when that system is turned on, it's very hard to heal. We simply cannot get healthy in the same environment that we got sick in. So think about that in terms of addiction recovery. Or even, well, let's think about our active use. When we were in active use, we're stressing out our entire body system with some kind of a substance or a chemical, right? And we are also living that 90% time indoors because we're in our modern world now. We're blocking natural light with windows. We're living in this, a home, a box, basically, not letting any natural light in. We're living in front of computer screens for a lot of us 8 hours a day because we're at work all day in front of a computer. And so think about that stress from the active use piece and then also the modern world. And now think about that from a biopsychosocial standpoint. So when we think about, like let's say we are, getting well and we're in a treatment center or something like this, and then we get out of that and we know that we can't go back to that same environment. We have to start healing relationships. We might have to get rid of some using friends. So that's the environment on a social aspect. And the environment on the psychological aspect would be things like emotions, triggers, and really healing from within, making sure we're not pushing down our feelings because that substance was numbing for us. And it was basically us escaping from any feelings, good or bad. And now think of this from a biology standpoint. So, that bio standpoint, so biopsychosocial. So, now we typically don't, like, I'm an alcohol and drug counselor. I typically was not asking people, what's your light environment like? I wasn't asking people that. I didn't know at the time to ask. But now that's definitely something that I would ask because think about that. Think about the healing that can take place if we are getting the right signaling. Because if we're now in recovery, which many of us are, many of you are listening to this and you're in long-term recovery, and have you looked at your light environment? Probably not. I didn't. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying, like, we don't know what we don't know until we know. So now that we know about our light environment, I want you to start paying attention to it. Because if somebody is in even that first 2 years of recovery and they are scrolling their phone into the evening or they're looking at their phone first thing when they wake up in the morning before it's light out, that's a problem with our neurotransmitter healing that we want our dopamine to come back in online. That's keeping us dopamine resistant. So this is a huge issue with our community in healing our addiction. So we really need to look at this stuff. Because it's also not allowing the right hormonal pathways to be turned on. I mean, think about how your sleep is right now. Are you sleeping well? I hope you're sleeping well in long-term recovery. But let me tell you, the first 2 days I was wearing blue blockers when I finally got them, because I knew about them for a long time before I actually got them, I noticed a huge difference. So Let me go back here and getting ahead of myself now. I want you to this week start paying attention to your light environment. I'm going to teach you how to mitigate things and how to have a healthy light environment in our modern world. So it's very important for the healing process, the healing that we're doing. Even if you're 20 years in recovery, whether you're 2 years, 1 year, 30 days, 1 day, it doesn't matter how many days you are in recovery. This is going to benefit you. This also is going to benefit anybody with any type of chronic disease. Okay. These things are going to be it's the same protocol. It's going to be the same idea. We all have to be looking at this, but specifically in this space of addiction recovery, this has not been being talked about. And I am the one talking about it now because I want you to thrive in your recovery. This is a life and death disease, and we simply cannot have our efforts go wasted. And you're doing so many good things and healing yourself at so many levels. You are going to skyrocket in your healing when you start looking at your light environment and when we start looking at these big toxins, so the artificial blue light and the non-native EMFs. So that is all for this week. Don't forget to do your homework. Start paying attention to your light environment around you. How often are you going outside? Do you go outside during the day? Think about these things. I encourage you to go outside because that is going to be one of the things that I tell you to do. But I want you to just pay attention, be aware, start to pay attention. So that is all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I'll see you next week. Drink water, call your peers. Bye-bye now.